Jeremy Lin has found a home in the NBA with the New York Knicks, and he has become the most exciting story in sports. Lin is the first Asian-American to play in the league since 1948. He played his college ball in the Ivy League at Harvard, where he was a two-time All-Ivy League player. He was undrafted and cut by Houston and Golden State, but at a press conference he said, "I don't think I've ever been a part of something like this before. Words can't express how happy and grateful I am. This is crazy." Jeremy, maybe you can help me understand something. There is usually a disconnect when it comes to, maybe even call it a stigma if you want, when it comes to certain people playing certain sports or playing sports professionally. And let's talk about the first stigma, and that is about playing at Harvard where you played your college ball and then playing in the NBA. What is that stigma? Is it the fact that, okay, they're brainiacs, but they don't play against the real high-level competition? Is that a stigma that's associated with the Ivy League?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's a huge stereotype. It's just that people in the Ivy League can't play basketball, but they can definitely get good grades in class. And so, you know, that's something that I've been fighting, but it's enjoyable, and it's something that I've learned to embrace because, you know, when you're not going to get that respect coming from Harvard, it's not necessarily a basketball powerhouse or anything, but. You know, it's been fun, and I'm glad I took that path. You know, Harvard's been great to me. Coach Amaker and Coach Blakeney and the rest of the staff have been unbelievable, and they've really developed me. And they have they're building that program up, and it's gonna be known nationwide soon.
What is the misconception about that stigma?
The misconception is that if you play in the Ivy League, you can't hang with the other guys, because they're so much more athletic. And I think especially in basketball, just basketball IQ and just understanding the game goes a long way. And sometimes you can neutralize athleticism, or you can close down that gap by being in the right place or using angles or just being smart about the game. And I'm not, you know, a freak athlete. I'm not going to be the most athletic guy on the court, but I'm going to try to outthink the opponents. And that's an advantage of playing in the Ivy League it's very detailed. You can't be a step late or anything, and it's just a slower game, but it's very detailed.
I don't know whether you observed this or not, but I had a friend of mine who said that stigma, part of it was the fact that you have a lot of white guys playing in the Ivy League, and you've got a lot of black guys playing in the NBA. Did you ever witness that? Did you ever get that sense playing in the Ivy League?
Yeah. You know, the demographics are obviously going to be different. That's not a myth or anything. But you know, the Ivy League is just a different style of basketball, it's true. There are a lot more white players in the Ivy League than there would be in other bigger conferences, but I don't think that's a reason why you should look down on the Ivy League.
You were a very successful player in the San Francisco Bay Area and player of the year, I think, in your senior year. And I'm just wondering, have you had to always overcome something? Did people always tell you can't do something? And is that part of the fire in the belly of Jeremy Lin?
You know, people have been saying I wouldn't be able to do this, or I wouldn't be big enough, or I'm not, you know, athletic enough. And that's, you know, I've heard those criticisms and doubts my entire life. And I've played the underdog role for a very long time. I still am. But it doesn't, it's not necessarily any extra motivation. You know, I grew up a non-denominational Christian, and I know that I'm playing for the Lord, and you know, that's my motivation to play, and also because I just love the game, and I want to be able to use the talent that he's given me. So obviously at times it'll frustrate me, but it doesn't add any extra motivation.
At the outset, I mentioned that you're the first Asian-American player in the NBA since 1948. The other stigma is the fact that Asians can't hang with players in professional basketball. Why do you think there is that stigma associated? Is it a stature thing where most Asians are not tall and muscular and what we normally see in professional basketball?
That's definitely part of it. But also just when you look at basketball worldwide and you look at the NBA, there just aren't that many Asians. And so there's Yao Ming, and you know, he's the biggest name in terms of an Asian basketball player, but there aren't that many out there, and so that's kind of why that stigma occurs. But you know, it's also part of it is also Asians, you know, they aren't exactly more gifted physically than, you know, some, for the most part. You know, I'm talking about in general. There's obviously going to be exceptions, but Yeah, I mean, Asians are known to be short and not athletic, and that's, you know, that's a stereotype, but hopefully we're going to break that soon.
Jeremy, you and I both know, and I was surprised to hear this and read it in a story about the troubles that you had to deal with, the discrimination and some of the things that were yelled out by fans. Now, I do a national sports talk show, and I hear the passions of fans, and sometimes the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, and their stupidity extends beyond their ignorance. So I can almost imagine. When I read it, I was shocked by it because that's not my makeup. But then I thought about it, and I said, you know, fans don't think sometimes. And you said it was bad the first couple of times when you were called names, but I just learned to block it out. It taught me a lot. It just made me a better player, just mentally stronger. And I thought about that, and in a sense, they were almost doing you a favor, were they not?
Yeah, they were absolutely doing me a favor. You know, they've definitely made me a stronger person, and you know, going through that was obviously tough in the beginning, but you know, it definitely made me stronger mentally, and especially at this level, you know, that's the biggest thing. Everybody in the NBA can play basketball, obviously, that's why they're there, but the advantage comes when you're mentally stronger than somebody else. So that's definitely helped me, and that was probably the biggest obstacle that I had to overcome in terms of playing in, you know, during away games.
There were a couple of fans that are Warrior fans who have courtside seats, and they know how to heckle. I had them on this program, and I'll give you an example. They don't use any bad language. They don't question anybody's parentage or any of those things, but there was a player who had a questionable college career, at least for attending classes, and they yelled out one time, "Spell cat, and I'll give you the C and the T."
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I think that's creative. And you have already said that you expect it to continue in the NBA, the heckling.
I mean, there's been some clever ones, especially Harvard. You know, I remember we went to Michigan and some fan was yelling, you know, vertical line, slope undefined, and different, like, you know, formulas and things like that. So they get pretty creative. I mean, they do whatever they can to get in your head. So, but sometimes it's definitely enjoyable, and we talk about some of the funnier comments that we hear during the game afterwards.
Yeah, and what the fans don't realize, especially at the college level, I think, Jeremy, is that when you say something like that and your teammates hear it, it really kind of fires up the whole team, does it not? And really can blow up into the fans' faces.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. You know, some players feed off of what fans say. Like, they love that, and they love getting heckled, and that makes them play better. But, you know, it's different for everybody and every team, but, you know, there are definitely instances where a team will get energized because they're getting heckled.
You said, "I'm a playmaker. I've always attacked the basket, the rim, and have somewhat of a reckless style. I try to be everywhere at once. I feel like I'm ready to play." Do you also have to make sure that you keep yourself under control? Because being reckless can be kind of self-destructing for you as well as the team, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I've struggled with, and my coaches at Harvard have definitely helped me with that. And they've taught me, you know, they say playing fast but under control. And so that's something that I've struggled with. I used to get a lot of charges, but, you know, as I've grown and matured as a player, I've been able to get better at reading defenses and to know when I should go fast and when I should slow up and to not always go fast, you know, to be able to switch gears and change directions and use different speeds.
How hard is it for somebody coming into this league to adapt to a 24-second shot clock? Because it does speed up the game and make you recognize things a lot quicker, at least have to, and also to start the plays and execute them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll have a problem adjusting to that because I love shooting and I love, you know, I don't think I have a problem in terms of getting a shot up in 24 seconds. And at Harvard, we play up and down and we got a lot of shots up. So I'm actually looking forward to that. But, you know, there's definitely times where if you go through the first segment of a play and it doesn't work, you pull the ball back out and there's 6 seconds on the clock, 7 seconds on the clock, and then you have to go and go straight into, you know, a pick and roll or something, or one-on-one isolation to try to get a shot up.
One of the things that I think is going to be very good for Jeremy Lin in the NBA is the fact that if you happen to be a guy coming off the bench, some guys, you know, maybe they could deal with it, But all of a sudden you're injected into the lineup and you've got to be able to produce whatever is expected out of you when you get in there. And I sense because you went to Harvard, because you like the mental approach to the game, Jeremy, that you're going to be into the game whether you're in the lineup or sitting on the bench. And when your number gets called, you're going to be ready to play. Am I correct in that observation?
I would like to say that you are correct. I played in the summer league. I came off the bench, and so
right.
That's the first time I've done that since my freshman year in college. So, I actually liked it. I liked it because I get to see what's going on in the first few minutes, see what adjustments need to be made, and to kind of see the tendencies of the opponents, and then going in, you already have a feel for the game without having had any time on the floor yourself.
You have got to explain to me what your college or your high school coach said when he said he hated drills in high school. Literally the worst practice player I've ever had, the worst. And he said that in a very loving way, by the way. But explain.
Oh, yeah. I'll explain that for sure. I'm going to 100% support that claim. Going into my sophomore and junior year, I was the worst practice player, and I had a horrible attitude, and I would get kicked out of practice, consistently, maybe once a week or so, and I would just had a lot of attitude. But I broke my ankle right before a championship game my junior year, and that took me out for the season. And, that injury pretty much changed my life, because that's when I learned how to work hard. And ever since that, every year I try to build a higher standard of what hard work means to me. And, hard work's taken me a long way now, and I'm glad, I understand what he's saying, and that's definitely true. That was definitely true until my senior year.
Yeah, did the game come easy to you early in your life in high school?
I mean, I was naturally, I have good basketball instincts, and, I'm thankful to God for that and for the God-given ability. But there have been a lot of things that I've had to work on, and pretty much every aspect of my game, whether it's ball handling, defense, strength, shooting, reading defenses, passing, everything. And so you're always going to have to make adjustments, and you're always going to have to learn. And I think that's the biggest thing, is to always realize that there's adjustments and improvements that can be done.
Who was your favorite player when you were growing up?
My favorite player growing up? I had a lot of favorites. I still have in my bedroom right now a huge Latrell Sprewell poster. I have my teammate at Harvard, Oliver McNally. He's from San Francisco. I stole his Joe Smith jersey. He doesn't know where it went. I don't know if I can choose one player.
We only have a couple minutes left, and I do have to ask you, do you feel any pressure being an Asian American as far as your culture goes and maybe carrying the banner for other Asian Americans?
There's going to be a little bit of added pressure because of that. But, like I said earlier, it's just I'm trying to play for the right reasons. I'm not trying to play to please the Asian American community. I'm trying to play, in a godly way and to, give my best effort and just to control what I can and let everything else, fall where it may. And so, I understand that I'm a role model at the same time being the only Asian American in the NBA right now. And so I obviously have to represent as well. So I'm not going to take that responsibility lightly.
When you sit back and think about what you're about to go into and think about having watched professional basketball for a long time, the players you saw, the way they played this game and everything, what is the thing that stays with you the most about this game and the people that play it?
I just think, the people that play, there's just a joy about it that they get from playing the game. And, that's the biggest thing for me. That's why I still play, is because I love it. And so just the passion of the people and the coaches and the competition, how much everyone loves winning, that's been, the biggest thing that stood out to me.
Well, congratulations on being in the NBA. It's going to be fun to watch you because, as you said, you're kind of a bulldog. And you may be reckless, but I think that will bring a lot of passion. I've known NBA fans for a long time, and no matter where you happen to be, I remember Slick Watts up in Seattle, who used to have the headband on the bald head, and he used to dive for balls and everything. And the fans really light up when it comes to something like that. Jeremy, congratulations. Thanks for joining us on Sports Byline.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy Lin with us, point guard. And again, I repeat myself, the first Asian-American player in the NBA since 1948. And I think that that is significant. And he played 4 years at Harvard, and he was also a two-time All-Ivy League player his junior and his senior year. We'll take a break as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.